Blessed be the name of the Lord. Let us open the Word of God this morning to Galatians chapter 2. It's going to be one verse, which is going to serve us for the first message. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. A very known, well verse. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I live now, live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Amen. You may take your seats. How can we understand the heart of Christ if we don't understand his work on the cross? As we celebrate Communion Sunday today, we want to look at the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. Look at the table here that reminds us of the wonderful work that he has done to save us, to spare us from death, from eternal death. Why did Jesus die, some people may ask? What was the purpose for his passion? Why did Jesus die in agony and his blood being shed on a cross? Why the cross? If we can put it in one word, that would be because of sin, right? Sin. An instrument of death and punishment, which we'll look at the cross this morning, became one day an instrument of power because the person who died on it, the price that was paid on it, the promise that was fulfilled on it. Your destiny and my destiny is determined by the work of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. If I ask you to describe God in one word, what would your response be this morning? If we can all think about how can we put God into one word, what would that word would be? That word would be holy. God is holy. God is just. Would God be holy or just if he would practice injustice? The answer is no. We're all sinners. Sinners by birth, sinners by choice, sinners by nature, sinners by practice. We're all sinners. None of us could say that we are just or holy. None of us could say that. That's why Jesus came to die. The righteous for the unrighteous, as 1 Peter 3:18 describes it. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit. The holy for the sinners. Jesus Christ, the Holy One, came to die for us, the sinners. Christ died to reconcile us back to the Father, as 2 Corinthians 5:18 puts it. And all things are of God, who had reconciled us himself by Jesus Christ and had given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Sin separates us, made us enemies with God. But Christ, through the death of the Christ, brought us back to God, washed us, cleansed us, made us new. All those who put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ for salvation. Once we've been washed and redeemed by the cross of Christ, the work of redemption, having the reconciliation, being made new, how should we live our lives is the question. Understanding that we've been washed, redeemed, we've been cleansed, we've been made new, how should we live our lives? What is my approach to the work of Jesus on the cross? How do I respond to it? And this morning I want to talk shortly about living And this is the title of my message, Living Under the Cross. Every single day, I have to have this image. I have to have this understanding that what the work of the Christ was on the cross, it's very important to me. And I am who I am because of the work of the cross, of Jesus on the cross in my life. And I need to live a life that's pleasing Him. Lord, help us to do so. And that's how Paul comes in and says, I have been crucified with Christ, and it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life, and here's where we're going to ponder a little bit, and the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. And this is very important, how I live my life. That now that I give my life to Christ, now that I'm being saved, now that I've been washed, now that I've been cleansed, how do I live my life? I have to live it under the power of the cross. I have to resemble that work that was done in my life. It has to be part of me. It has to be part of who I am, who I become. I no longer live that life anymore that I used to live. I live to please Him. I live to glorify Him. That's what Paul is trying to say. Once I am a child of God, having a new identity in Christ through His cross, understanding that Christ did for me what He did in my place. How do I live my life? I owe it all to Him, don't I? We can say an amen to that. I owe it all to Him. And that's what Paul so nicely puts it. I no longer live for me, but I live for the one that saved me. How does the cross transforms everything? Is the big question this morning. Paul realizes that on that cross, a great exchange occurred. Paul gave Jesus his old, try to be right before God by the law, life. And he was crucified on the cross. He couldn't live that life because he couldn't fulfill it. Nobody could keep the law and be just by it. Nobody. Then Jesus gave Paul his life. Christ came to live in him. So Paul's life wasn't his own anymore. It belonged to Jesus Christ. Paul didn't own his life. The life that died. He simply managed the new life Jesus gave him. And that's what we want to talk about this morning. How do I manage the life that God had given me? The renewed life. The life that is in Christ Jesus. The life that was marked by the work of Christ on the cross. How do we look at this new life in Christ is no longer ours, which was made possible through the cross? How do I look at it? There are rules to live by. There are requirements. Paul wants to bring a practical, everyday approach, and this is what we want to talk about this morning. Something that is very practical, that we can approach it, that we can live it, that we can do it. How to live your life in Christ. A fulfilled life, a life of victory, a life of being a conqueror, somebody that conquers the things that the world is going to throw at you. God did not die only to bring us to Himself, but also that we may have impact around us. Amen? And we'll talk about that a little bit later. He wants to bring and transform a corrupt generation to Himself, and we have a mandate. We have a responsibility to do something. Working together with Christ to enlarge the kingdom of God. Living under the cross must imply, the first thing that I want to talk about is our personal relationship with Jesus. It all comes down to that personal relationship with Jesus. And how is that looking? How is that looking this morning? And how is that going to be portrayed in the life that I have to live? Personal relationship means that there is something personal about that relationship with Jesus, about that relationship that started when I became a new man. There's something that brings us closer to each other, a relationship. You can't say that I have a relationship with somebody if there's no communication, if there's no meetings, if there's no talk, if there's no resemblance that there is a relationship there. I am not just on Sunday a Christian God is calling me to be a Christian, to be a follower every single day. Paul in this passage is saying, because God loved me and it was on his goodwill, he saved me. I am saved. And we're all saved here this morning. If you're not saved, you can find Jesus this morning. You can give your life to him. He's ready to embrace you and to receive you. Because of his being just, made me the unjust just. Imagine that. The relationship became personal. I walk in this freedom because of him. It's a new relationship with him that points out images and evidence of salvation. If I have a personal relationship with Jesus, there's got to be evidence that I have Christ in my life, that Christ is the king on the throne. He is the ruler of my life. He is the one that dominates over my life, right? No longer me. The first thing, the first evidence that's got to be, that's got to show in my life, it's got to be boldness. And say, why boldness? Through Jesus Christ, we are able to approach the God with freedom, with boldness. We approach the throne of grace, as the writer of Hebrews says in 4:16, we can come boldly through the throne of grace because of what he did. Not what I did, because I was unrighteous, but he, the righteous one, came and saved me and washed me. And that's what we celebrate today, the death of Christ for our sins. The payment that was paid in full. And I have freedom. I have boldness. Because of Christ's high priesthood, we can come to God through the throne of grace and receive mercy. We can receive mercy. I can approach God into his most holy place by the blood of Jesus. I can come in his presence any time of day. Because I am free, I am washed and cleansed. I could come to God because he had given me that honor. He made me set free so I could approach him and serve him and honor him. Should that give me confidence and boldness when I come to church? Should that give me boldness and confidence when I walk out there in the world, when I leave this place? Should people that are not Christians should see that I have a boldness and I can approach to talk about God because of what he did for me and the work at the cross? Let me tell you something. If you don't have boldness to talk about Christ, you might not have Christ, because Christ cannot be hidden. You can't hide Christ. When you understand the intensity and the work that he done for you, you cannot keep quiet. You got to talk about him. He's the one that saved you. He's the one that gave you life. So today we can be bold and come to the throne of grace and sing and worship a God that loved me, the sinner, and he gave me life. He infused in me life. And today I could come and say, I am saved through the blood of Christ. I am saved because of what he done. Praise Jesus. I don't know if that gives you boldness. Think about the work of the cross. He took it all on him so I could be free, so I could have the boldness to say something, to proclaim the goodness of God. The second thing is love, his love. Once under the sin made us afraid and far from God, but through Christ, his love drove out fear. Isn't that right? We were all scared. I remember one time in my life, I was born in a Christian family, but I had my time where I was like walking away from God. And you know what? The biggest thing that was there was fear. I knew that if something were to happen, I don't know if I'm going to make it. But when Christ comes into your life through his love, he casts out fears. So today there's nothing you can fear, because he is the one that died for you, saved you. So he's in control, the creator of the universe, the God, the almighty God that spoke everything in existence. He's your daddy. Praise his name. And then the third thing, joy. A personal relationship with God has got to be marked by, like I said, boldness. It's got to be marked by love. It's got to be marked by joy. Joy must be the mark of a redeemed person. Don't tell me to come over here and you're just sad and you just sit back there and not doing anything. The worship is singing. Everybody's hands are up and you are just sitting there. It got no joy. There's something wrong. A renewed person by Jesus Christ. When I understand that he died for me and he paid it all, I gotta have joy. Joy has got to be in the house of the Lord. We got to rejoice and tell him, we love you, Lord, for what you've done. And we got to put it in practice. Sing it. Say it. Proclaim it. I had joy this morning because of what he did for me. I have the assurance that one day when he's going to come, I will face him. I will be with him. And I trust that work. There's joy in my life. Let the joy of the Lord be in you. By bringing my life to Jesus, that now pushed me somewhere in a corner, satisfied and fulfilled, somewhere in church, on a bench, making my appearance every Sunday only. I come here to rejoice with his people and be part of the greatest miracle that ever took place. I've been saved. I have a future. I have been redeemed. I have a Savior. Now shouldn't I give you the boldness to come and praise God and rejoice and show your love towards him? He loved you. Why don't you show him love? Why are you just being there sad? I mean, we might have problems, but you know what? The creator of the universe is here. He can fix every problem. He can repair everything that's broken. He can bring you the peace of God that passes all understanding. The boldness, the love, and the joy is part of my personal relationship that I have with Jesus because of his work on the cross. His resemblance, his image must be on me. I have to show it. I talk like him. I live like him. And there's nothing about me. All I do is to bring him glory. Help us, Lord. The second thing, living under the cross must also imply our personal approach towards ourselves. And I want to be very careful the way we're going to explain this, but at the same time, we are here this morning and we have to examine ourselves, looking inside of us, looking inside of me, and that's got to be a constant thing that it's happening. A constant thing that has got to take place. It requires an abandoned, self-centered, and embrace a renewed. No longer I look at myself and I say, it's about me. The emphasis on a lot of people today is on self. I love me. I like to do whatever makes me feel good. I'm okay. You're okay. Jesus did not come. If we look at the first commandment, is to love the Lord your God. The second, to love your neighbor. And the third, to love yourself. He did not do that. The agape verb, love, means self-sacrifice in the service of others. It is not self-directed. Self-love in the biblical understanding is sin. It's curved into oneself. In 2 Timothy 3 through 1:5, Paul says, one of the marks of the last days is that people will be lovers of self instead of lovers of God. For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, and so on. The list goes. Their love would be redirected from God and neighbors to self. This is everything but living under the cross. We're not to love ourselves, but to love others, to love God, to put ourselves under submission to the Lord and live a life that's pleasing him. Live a life that it's going to proclaim, it is going to portray Jesus Christ, self-sacrificial identity in Christ. A self-denial. In Mark 8:34, the word of God says, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and pick up his cross and follow me. The sign of being a disciple of Christ, living under the cross, submitting to the work of Christ on the cross is simply this. Pick up your cross, deny yourself, and follow me. Amen? How do we understand that Jesus predicted his suffering and death and must happen? He said it will imply for his followers as well. Suffering, putting the old nature to death. It's a daily crucifying the flesh. A daily to know sin, to refuse the sin that's so easily trying to get to us. The daily compromise, we must examine ourselves. This morning, a perfect Sunday to examine ourselves, as Paul says in Corinthians, examine yourself. Look at yourself. Live under the cross has restrictions. I don't live the way I please. Not me, but Christ. The third thing, and I'm going to close with this, is our mandate. Living under the cross also implies our mandate. Mission in the world. Being a follower of Christ, to live under the cross, under the cross, I have a mandate, I have a mission to live when I leave from here. If Christ died for me, I must give my time, my energy for others. I must preach the word of God. We are all called to go into the world and preach the word. We're all called and sent into the world to make disciples, to proclaim the good news of salvation. Being saved doesn't mean to be quiet. Doesn't mean to be quiet. So many times in God's church around the world is so preoccupied with his own affairs while the needy world outside is waiting. We're all called to go and win souls for the kingdom of God. Amen? How many of us are doing that? How many of us still have the pain of doing that? Every single day, people around us die and go straight to hell. How much do we care? How much do we want to come into doing our duties and respond to the gospel of Jesus Christ and do the work that was given to us, the assignment, the mandate that was given to us? The purpose for your salvation, the cross, was not to get you saved and get spiritually fed and fat, to feel good and sit around and do nothing. Oh, brother, how are you doing? Oh, you know what? I'm just going to church, man. I just have my place in church, and I'm just going home, and this is how it goes. We came to fellowship and get fed on Sunday and Thursday to go out and preach the good news to people. That is living under the cross of Christ, the work of the cross, doing the work that he called us for. Give them your testimony. Tell them what Christ did to you. Tell them what the cross of Christ means to you. Tell them what happened inside of you when you received Christ. Tell them why you died. Tell them, maybe they don't know, they haven't heard it. They need to be reminded. Why the cross? It was the punishment for my sin. He took my place. Paul, in other words, he's still in the Corinthians, in 1 Corinthians 2:2, would want to summarize it with this. For I decided to know nothing among you except what? Except Jesus Christ and him crucified. Today at the communion, we have the opportunity to look at the work of Christ on the cross. We have the opportunity to look at the broken body and his blood that was shed for our sins. God is calling us to live under the cross, a life that's pleasing him. It must imply personal relationship with him, a daily walk with him, a daily talk with him, a daily relationship, a personal look inside ourselves and examine ourselves. As we're about to approach the communion table, we have to examine ourselves. Also to look around me and fulfill the mission I was called in representing him and his kingdom. And I pray that the Lord will help us to do so. I pray that the Lord will help us to live a life that's pleasing him, no longer pleasing ours, and live according to the calling that he gave us, to live a holy life, sanctify, put aside for him, live only for him. In Jesus' name, amen. Help us, Lord.